Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Steve Zwemke. Byron and the Big Heads. It sounds like a pretty good name for a rock group, as Kevin Wooster writes in his latest piece for his SDPB blog, on the other hand. But unfortunately, in this case, the Big Heads are carp, and Byron is the South Dakota lake in which the invasive fish loiter. How big is the problem? Kevin Wooster joins us with a little more perspective after some investigation. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm excellent. Good to have you with us. How did you learn about the existence of bighead carp in Lake Byron?
Well, I first let me tell you that I just noticed on the screen that I've written 1,986 words and perhaps counting on bighead carp in Lake Byron. So I don't know what that says about me as a journalist. maybe overwritten, I'm not sure. But I was, and, you know, to 1,986 words came from basically me saying, oh, you know, I haven't read the new Game Fish and Parks Department fishing handbook this year, and it's something that I try to do. It's really an amazing little handbook.
And yeah.
If you haven't read it, you should, because it's got fishing, regulations and stuff in it, but so much more. It's got, you know, information on mercury and fish and on invasive species plants and many other things. And that's where I stopped, just kind of casually stopped to see, oh, I haven't checked to see how we're doing on invasive species. And I was looking down the list of waters with certain plants or animals that we don't particularly want in them. And I ran into Lake Byron, and I thought, what in the world? How did a big head carp and a silver carp, which was the secondary Asian carp that somehow found its way into Lake Byron, how did they get there? And what does this mean for the rest of the South Dakota lakes? Because it's kind of it's a fairly isolated prairie lake. And these are river fish that really move in the river and are hard to control there. But I always had in my mind that the lakes were kind of safe from them, you know?
Yeah.
So that's rattled me a little bit as a fisherman.
Now, Lake Byron is north and, I believe, a little bit east of Huron, approximately 15 miles or so. So it's central, east-central part of the state. So what did you learn with respect to your ensuing investigation?
Well, you know, the one of the things I point out in there is you get kind of worked up, get nervous. So what do? You make a call. That's what reporters do when they get a tip, when they have a thought, when something occurs to them, when somebody mentions something to them. And I also said in there, I wish more people would make calls before they rant on Facebook and Twitter about things and actually find out if what they think is true is true or as true as they think it is. But I called John Lott, who I've been calling. He's what they call now the aquatic resources chief for Game Fish and Parks in Pier. And that used to be fisheries chief. And I talked to a lot of them over the last 40 plus years. And we've talked about it. And, you know, he kind of explained that there's a difference between the common carp and the big head carp and the silver carp in terms of how they breed and what they need, which is, in those cases, flowing waters and pretty specific types of flowing waters for their eggs to survive and hatch. So he sort of reassured me that this isn't like a common carp, which can show up in just about any pound and, you know, maybe in your, or any pond and maybe in your bathtub and lay some eggs that are going to hatch. Who knows? They're pretty good. And so what it takes you off in, as you know, it starts to raise more questions and create more answers and make things, to me, more interesting. And suddenly you're looking at the background of how the lake got its name and, you know, a little bit more on these fish and how they compare to other fish. And pretty soon you're having a pretty good time.
Yeah. Now, exactly. You said they need like running water or like a stream to spawn. Would that be like the James River or what exactly, how would they get into Lake Byron?
Yeah. And you know, that's one of the things, and I say it's kind of isolated, but at most, you know, waters are not completely isolated unless they have a big dam on them. And some dams are big enough and some aren't. And so you've got fish that move upstream, and these fish especially move upstream, some more than other, to look for spawning grounds. And they lay their eggs like a paddlefish does, sort of in a moving water, the right moving water. And then in order for the eggs to live, they have to continue to move. If they settle out and drop to the bottom, they die.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for the right movement on these eggs. And without that, they really can't reproduce. So these, you know, generally still prairie lakes like Byron aren't good habitat for them. And, you know, so we've got these Asian carp, which are big head carp, silver carp, and grass carp, all of them need that moving water, and we've got them in areas where they've moved up the river to, you know, to Galvin Point Dam in the Missouri River, to the East Vermilion Dam and the Vermilion River, Sioux River up to the Sioux Falls and that barrier. And the James River, they've moved up quite a ways because it's got low head dams and a high water, pretty easy for fish to get over quite a ways up. So that's how they figure it probably got up the James River and then up Foster Creek during high water and up into Byron.
Are they there in big numbers?
No, small numbers. That's helpful. And Game Fish and Parks has never actually seen one in the lake.
Oh.
They get a report from commercial fishermen that were fishing there in 2012 for carp and for a native species, the big mouth buffalo, which is actually a pretty good fish to eat and to have around. And they ran into, in 2012, I think the commercial netters got two big heads and one silver, and then in 2015 they got just one big head. So it would seem to indicate what John Lott told me and Todd St. Sauber down in Sioux Falls as a regional fisheries guy for Game Fish and Parks said they don't believe that these particular invasive species are big threats to prairie lakes. They're concerned about them, obviously, on moving waters, any place that they can come up in there, because they do invade the food chain.
Mm-hmm.
They are heavy filter feeders on plankton and on zooplankton and phytoplankton and the small critters that need to form that food chain. So they compete with native fish, and if they get populated, they can be a real problem. And in the case of the silver carp, which is, you know, we're not talking about because there's only one found up there, they jump out of the water and hit you in the head sometimes when you're rushing across the lake in a motorboat. So
I have seen them in action on one of those fishing programs, I believe, that's based over in Minnesota. Yeah. You kind of touched on my next question about the damage they can do to, like, the ecosystem of Lake Byron or any other lake or river. And you get to talking about the food chain. So it's something that's obviously you want to take care of. Most of us who've ever thrown a line into the Missouri River in South Dakota have hooked a carp. They're fun to catch, but disappointing once you land it. When I was younger, I'd see guys fishing the river north and south of Pier, and they'd land a carp and they'd slice into it with a knife or beat it with a hammer and throw it back into the river. Are there more scientific ways to deal with these invasive creatures in hopes of thinning out their numbers?
Yeah, I've written this over the years many times. You always go to a nice fishing spot, and there'll be this terrible stench, and you'll look over, and there'll be
big
carp laying there rotting, you know, and, which is unpleasant to look at. It's unpleasant to smell. And really, there's no reason to jam a carp in the eye with a knife and to beat it around. I mean, do you really think the one or two or three carp that most of us
exactly.
are catching a year are going to make any difference to the population? Just leave them alone. Put them back in the water and leave them alone. They're doing what carp do. We brought them here. You know, I mean, we started this whole thing. So the only way you can deal with carp is to try and deal them with, as Game Fish and Parks does. You know, they allow commercial anglers to take them out, and they try to control their numbers. And sometimes if lakes get bad enough, they'll go in with a certain protocol and, you know, kill the fish population out of the lake, smaller lakes usually, obviously, and start over again. But individual anglers with acts that I deem to be just silly cruelty, there's no reason to do that. And they wreck the shoreline, you know, they make it an unpleasant place.
Another thing about growing up in Pier is I remember some of those river carp would show up smoked on the shelves of the grocery store, you know, Red Owl or Dakota Mart or a place like that.
Yeah.
Is that still something people will partake in?
Oh, yeah. I've Game Fish and Parks at the beginning of the legislative sessions way back when used to have a big carp feed, and it wasn't all carp. Some of it was buffalo, and those are really good eating fish, native fish. But carp properly, you know, prepared with the bones cut out and properly cooked, it's not a bad fish. Deep fried is best, in my opinion, but smoked is often very good, too.
Going back to the big head and the silver carp, Lake Byron, they've seen some. Are there any other lakes in South Dakota, Kevin, that they've seen these two particular carp?
Byron is the only prairie lake that they've confirmed their presence, and It is, as I said, those river systems, Vermilion, Big Sioux, James, and the lower Missouri, the lower portions of most of those, the James, they can get up a little farther. Those are the only places that I've seen them on the list, and I believe that's the only place they've been confirmed in the state. But, you know, they're always watching for it. And this is just one of, as I point out in there, one of a number of species, invasive, aquatic invasive species that they're watching and trying to control movement of. And there's some pretty big efforts on that. I'm going to get into that in stories to come, because they have some new initiatives on cleaning boats, so when you move from one reservoir to the next, you don't spread certain yep. plants and critters. And we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, you kind of are a step ahead of me again here, because I wanted to talk about boats are a big thing in the introduction of invasive species to bodies of water. There's a lot of carelessness involved too, though, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And you know, this goes down to certain things we've got out here in the Black Hills, for example. There's a gunk that's in the water called Didymosphenia geminata, I think is the name that they call Didymo. It's a moss-like growth that just gets thick over the rocks and things. And you have to be very careful moving from a stream that has Diddy to a stream that doesn't have Diddy, especially if you happen to have a pair of the older waders that have felt bottoms that can really hold on to that stuff. About cleaning those, just like you have to be careful about cleaning your boats when you go, and that's a real danger because you can move long distances with those, and there's a protocol for those, and I think that they've got lists. I'm looking over here, and they've got lists in the handbook about where you can go to approved bass or boat wash stations, and I think that's something that they're going to be highlighting at some of the popular fishing spots to come here in the coming weeks. Where they're going to have the, focus on washing stations for people and show them how to do their boats right. So it's an important part of keeping these things under control.
Interesting. What can you tell me about European rudd?
Well, I could tell you that they're here and there, and that I've seen them out here. I knew they were in Lake Oahe in certain areas. I've seen them up in Sheridan Lake. I've tried and tried and tried to catch them on a fly rod. Up there and in a couple other places out here. They're a goldfish type fish. You know, they're very bright and they usually fish in schools. So you'll see this shiny part of them going through. And I'm not aware of them causing a big problem out here with other fish yet. But again, it's a fish that's not supposed to be there. And I noticed at the end of my story that it's in a lake over east that I didn't know they were in. So
yeah,
I was concerned by that.
Well, let's make sure we lead everybody to the blog. You can read Kevin's work at sdpb.org/blogs/Kevin Wooster. It's called On the Other Hand. Kevin, thanks so much. I hope you're able to drop a line in over the Memorial Day holiday weekend, and always fun. We'll see you next week, all right?
All right. Thank you.